We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 1, Text 32. Yes.
O velký mudrci, společně s tvými devíti dcerami projevím prostřednictvím tvé ženy Devahuti svoji úplnou část a poučí mi o filozofickém systému, který rozebírá základní kategorie, význam. Slovo Svámša Kalaya zde vyjadřuje, že se pán zjeví jako syn Devahuti a Kardami Muniho jménem Kapila Deva a bude prvním autorem Sankhyové filozofie, zmíněné v tomto verši jako Tatva Samhita. Pán předpověděl Kardamovi Munimu, že se zjeví ve své inkarnaci Kapila Deva a bude šířit filozofii Sankhy. Sankhyová filozofie je ve světě dobře známá z podání jiného Kapila Devy, ale tato Sankhyová filozofie se liší od Sankhy, kterou původně učil samotný pán. Existují dva druhy Sankhyové filozofie, bezbožná a zbožná. Sankhya, kterou šířil Kapila Deva, syn Devahuti, je zbožná filozofie. Existují různé projevy pána, který je jeden, ale stal se mnoha. Pán se dělí do dvou různých expancí, Kála a Vibhinámša. Obyčejné živé bytosti se nazývají expanse Vibhinámša a neomezené expanze kategorie Višnodatva, jako je Bámana, Govinda, Narayana, Pradyumna, Vásudeva, Ananta, se nazývají Svámša Kála. Svámša je označení přímé expanze a Kála znamená expanzi z expanze původního pána. Baladeva je expanzí Krišny a další expanzí z Baladeva je Sankaršana. Sankaršana je tedy Kála, ale Baladeva je Svámša. Není mezi nimi ovšem žádný rozdíl. To je velice pěkně vysvětleno v Brahma Samhitě 46. Dibáči rivahi dašantaram avyupedya. Od jedné svíčky můžeme zapálit druhou svíčku, od druhé třetí, potom čtvrtou, a tak to můžeme rozsvítit tisíce svíček. A žádná z nich nebude dávat méně světla než kterákoliv jiná. Každá svíčka svítí stejně silně, ale přesto můžeme rozlišit, která je první, která druhá, která třetí a která čtvrtá. Podobně není žádný rozdíl mezi bezprostřední expanzí pána a jeho druhotnou expanzí. Přesně stejným způsobem můžeme uvažovat o jménech pána. Jelikož pán je absolutní, jeho jméno, jeho podoba, jeho zábavy, jeho příslušenství a jeho vlastnosti mají všechny tutéž sílu. V absolutním světě jméno Krišna transcendentálním zvukovým zastoupením pána. Z hlediska síly není žádný rozdíl mezi jeho vlastnostmi, jménem, podobou a tak dále. Jakmile zpíváme jméno pána Hare Krishna, je to stejně mocné jako pán samotný. Z hlediska síly také není rozdíl mezi podobou pána, jehož uctíváme, a podobou pána v chrámu. Neměli bychom si myslet, že uctíváme figurku nebo sochu pána, i když druzí považují božstvo za sochu. Síla je vždy stejná a proto uctíváním sochy pána získáme stejný výsledek jako uctíváním samotného pána. To je věda o vědomí
Krišny. Sahaham svang sukalaya tvadvirjena mahamune tovakshetre devahutyam praneshe tatva samhitam.
O velký mudrci, společně s tými devíti dcerami projevím prostřednictvím své ženy Devahuti svoji úplnou část a poučí mi o filozofickém systému, který rozebírá základní kategorie.
Mukam grodi bachala mangam langaye tegrim yat kripita dam mande sugurun gina talanam. So the Sankhya philosophy that Lord Kapiladev teaches is meant to end all mental speculation.
Takže Sankhya filozofie, kterou učí pan Kapiladev, je učena k tomu, aby ukončila veškeré mentální spekulace.
It's when mental speculation ends that real spiritual life begins.
Takže skutečný duchovní život začíná tam, kde končí mentální spekulace.
Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, prajahati yada kaman savan parta manogatan atmani vatmana tushta shtita pragya tadochite. So a devotee must be shtita pragya. His mind, his consciousness must be fixed in the absolute truth. Sarva parta manogatan. The manogata. Manogata means mental speculation. Must therefore be stopped.
Manogata znamená mentální spekulace a to musí být zastaveno.
Because what comes out of this Manogata. Lord Krishna says, Prajahati yada kaman. All the desires for sense gratification are hatched out of this mind. Srila Prabhupada explains that the gross and subtle material bodies that we have are actually creations of this mind. Actually, speculation, mental speculation, means creating a new material body. This is why we say no speculation. Because the Krishna consciousness process is aimed at ending the creation of more and more bodies. So therefore, the speculative function of the mind must be stopped. So, evatmani, atmani evatmana tushta. So therefore, tushta. The mind must find satisfaction in atmani. That means atman, the self, the spiritual self, and the supreme atman, paramatman, Krishna, Vishnu tattva.
Takže mysl musí najít spokojenost ve svém pravém já a ve Vishnu tattvě, Krishnovi.
Then shtitya pragya turochire. Then one's consciousness is fixed in transcendence.
A potom naše vědomí bude fixováno v transcendence.
So the mind has a strong tendency to speculate, because being impelled by ignorance, being impelled by its lack of understanding.
Takže mysl má silnou tendenci spekulovat díky kvalitě nevědomosti a díky chabému pochopení.
You see, our mind in its original state is in the mode of goodness.
Protože mysl ve svém původním stavu je v kvalitě dobrá.
But by ignorance, which is the opposite quality of goodness, the mind becomes colored by passion. The mind actually moves into the passionate position, which is in between the two.
Ale díky kvalitě nevědomosti je mysl potlačená k vášni, protože vášeň je mezi těmi dvěma kvalitami, dobrem a nevědomosti.
So this mental speculation is actually specifically a product of the mode of passion.
Takže mentální spekulace je specificky produktem kvality vášně.
Goodness is a position of happiness. Ignorance is the position of despair.
Kvalita dobrá je pozicí štěstí a kvalita nevědomosti je pozicí neštěstí.
And our mind is in between the two.
A naše mysl je mezi těmito dvěmi.
You agree, Bhakti Karo? Yes, the mind is in between happiness and despair. These are the dualities. So therefore, we're always speculating. This is the business of the mind. Sankalpa vikalpa. It's in duality. It's trying to become happy. It's trying to avoid distress.
Dualita mysli, sankalpa vikalpa. Neustále se snažit najít štěstí a vyhnout se neštěstí.
But we don't know how to end this process of speculation and actually attain the platform of tushta, satisfaction.
Ale my nevíme, jak skončit tento proces utrpení a dosáhnout štěstí, spokojenosti.
Why is that? Because we think that happiness is out there somewhere in the material world.
A proč to je tak? Protože si myslíme, že štěstí je někde venku v materiálním světě.
Therefore, the Sankhya philosophy is taught by Lord Kapiladev to stop that. As we heard, Sankhya philosophy is called Tattva Samitam, the doctrine of the principles of existence.
jsme slyšeli, tato Sankhya filozofie se nazývá Tattva Samhitam, neboli doktrína principů této existence.
So in Sankhya philosophy there are 24 tattvas.
A v této Sankhya filozofie je 24 tattvas.
Yes, 24 tattvas. Yes, okay. So, these 24 are in groups of 5.
A těchto 24 je rozděleno do skupin po pěti.
Mm-hmm. So, there are first 4 groups of 5 each, and 1 group of 4.
Takže první čtyři skupiny jsou po pěti a pátá skupina je po čtyřech.
And that adds up to 24 tattvas. So the first group of 5 are the Pancha Mahabhuta, the 5 gross elements.
Takže první skupina, prvních pět, je skupina pěti hrubých elementů.
Bhakti Karol, what are those?
Které to jsou, Bhakti Karol?
Gross?
Gross elements. Can someone name one of them?
The ether.
Ether, yes. And then?
Fire.
Earth,
water.
And what you breathe?
Air.
Yes. Okay. Then, there are the, another 5 are the knowledge acquiring senses.
A další skupina těch pěti jsou smysly pro získávání poznání.
Hmm? Like the eye, the nose, the ear, and so on. Then another group of 5 are the active senses.
Další skupina pěti datev jsou činnostní smysly.
Hmm? Then active senses means hand, leg, and the tongue, which is making vibrations.
Aktivní smysly znamená ruce, nohy, jazyk, který rozvíjí vibrace.
Then there are we mentioned Mahabhutas, gross senses, subtle senses. Then there are the sense objects, of course.
Ta skupina dalších pěti jsou smyslové objekty.
Sense objects means form, which is seen by the eye, sound, which is heard by the ear.
Smyslové objekty znamená podoba, kterou můžeme vidět očima, zvuk, který můžeme slyšet ušima.
And finally, the fifth, these are 4 groups of 5, which adds up to 20. Then the fifth group consists of 4, which are the 4 what are called internal organs, or actually the subtle organs within.
A ta poslední skupina obsahuje jenom 4 tatvy, a ty nazýváme vnitřní nebo subtilní orgány uvnitř.
That means mind, intelligence, false ego, and also chetana, which is the material consciousness altogether.
Takže těmi jsou mysl, inteligence, falešné ego a četana, neboli materiální vědomí.
These 4 make up our subtle body. They're like the 4 organs, or 4 senses, if you will, of the subtle body.
A tyto smysly vytváří naše subtilní tělo. Jsou to vlastně jako smysly našeho subtilního těla.
So these are the 24 elements of material existence. Prakriti. And the soul is called the Purusha in the Sankhya system. He who is trying to enjoy the Prakriti.
A duše je v sanskritu zvána Purusha, neboli ten, kdo se snaží užívat Prakriti.
But the Sankhya philosophy of Lord Kapila makes it very clear that there is nothing to be enjoyed by the soul in Prakriti.
Ale sanskritová filozofie pána Kaplade vydává jasně najevo, že pro duši si není čeho užívat.
So the whole point of this philosophy is to teach us to give up that endeavor to enjoy the elements of material nature.
A celý význam této filozofie je, abychom se vzdali těch pokusů užívat si materiální přírody.
And yes, atmani vatmana tushta, and find satisfaction in the self and the super self.
A abychom našli uspokojení v sobě a ve svém já a v nadjá.
Now, in Lord Kapila's philosophy of Sankhya, which is Ishvara Sankhya, in other words, the principle of the Supreme, Ishvara, the Supreme Controller, is taught. So, we learn from Lord Kapiladev that all of these elements have their origin in the Supreme Lord.
Takže tato sankhyová filozofie pána Kapiladevi je Ishvara, neboli učí, že všechny tyto prvky mají svůj původ v nejvyšším pánu.
Mm-hmm. For instance, the gross elements are manifested from Lord Sankarshan.
Například ty hrubé elementy jsou manifestovány z pána Sankarshana.
They are, these gross elements are products of the tamoguna, the mode of ignorance.
A tyto hrubé prvky jsou produktem tamoguny, neboli kvality nevědomosti.
And the tamoguna is the shakti, the energy of Lord Sankarshan. Therefore, he is sometimes called tamasi. He's the shelter of the mode of ignorance.
Takže tamoguna je shakti, těchto hrubých energií. Těchto hrubých energií a přichází od pána Sankarshana, který je zván tamasi, neboli od pán.
Lord Sankarshan's expansion is Sankara, Lord Shiva.
A expansi pana Sankarshana je Shankara Shiva.
So when the jiva is under the shelter of Lord Sankarshan, then he's in a state of consciousness called susupti, total ignorance. That is, for instance, when the jiva, the living entity, is within the womb of the mother in the early stages of the formation of the body. So the living entity is in unconsciousness and the gross elements are forming his body.
Takže živá bytost, která je ve stavu nevědomosti, je pod ochranou pána Sankarshana, jako například v mateřském lůně, když je ve stavu bezvědomí, a hrubé elementy na té duši vytváří vlastně to budoucí tělo.
So this is going on under the direction of Lord Sankarshan.
To se odehrává pod vedením pána Sankarshana.
Then the senses, the active senses, knowledge acquiring senses, these are manifest by Lord Pradyumna.
A potom smysly pro získávání poznání jsou manifestovány pánem Pradyumna.
And these are products of the mode of passion.
A to jsou produkty kvality vášně.
Because they're active.
Že jsou aktivní.
And Lord Brahma, he is the expansion of Lord Pradyumna.
A pan Brahma je expanzí pána Pradyumna.
And then the mental state, the mind, this subtle body, this is manifested, or this is the energy of Lord Aniruddha.
A mysl a subtilní tělo jsou manifestací nebo energií pána Aniruddhy.
So this is product of the mode of goodness.
To je produkt kvality dobra.
And the demigods, who are all said to be in the mode of goodness, headed by Lord Vishnu as Paramatma, they manifest from Lord Aniruddha.
A všichni polobozy, kteří se říká, že jsou umístěni v kvalitě dobra v čele s pánem Vishnuem, emanují z pána Aniruddhy.
So, when we understand these three forms of Vishnu, and their pastimes, they're manifesting these different tattvas, then we can understand the whole origin of material existence. We can understand everything.
Takže jestliže pochopíme činnosti nebo zábavy těchto tří Vishnu, tak můžeme pochopit vůbec původ celé existence.
So, the soul the living entity, is therefore meant to take shelter of the origin of everything, which is Vishnu.
Takže živá bytost je tedy určena k tomu, aby přijala ochranu u Vishnu, který je zdrojem všeho.
By doing this, he comes to the Shuddha Sattva platform, the platform of pure goodness.
A tím přijde na úroveň Shuddha Sattva, čistého dobra.
We've explained how these 24 tattvas, they are products of the three modes of nature. So when the living entity tries to find happiness in this, then the three modes, they work together to create temporary bodies for him. Subtle and gross bodies. And these subtle and gross bodies are said to be nothing other than dreams. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of when we dream at night. Our mind concocts some body or series of bodies. And we act in this subtle body. We have different adventures. But these are temporary. Srila Prabhupada often gave the example of having a dream in which a tiger is attacking me. So, in this horrible dream, the tiger is biting my neck and blood is flowing out. And I'm thinking, oh, now it's the end. I'm dead. Everything finished. Then suddenly I wake up. And that body and that horrible situation are gone. And now I'm in another situation, the waking state. Which Prabhupada said is also a dream. How is that? Because this body is also temporary. It will also pass away. This is Prabhupada's very nice definition of dream. Dream means anything that's temporary. So there are gross dreams and there are subtle dreams. So as long as we're trying to enjoy the modes, the three modes of material nature, which produce these different tattvas, as I've explained, which produce the gross and subtle bodies, then we're having either a daydream or a night dream. And there's no tushta, no satisfaction in these dreams. Actually, the basis of it all is frustration. Why is the soul involved in these dreams? Because he's trying to become happy, but he can't. And therefore, it's just an endless series of dreams, hopes and desires, one after the other, life after life after life after life, never ending. You see, everyone is dreaming. Dreaming and frustration. And that is the actual, that is all that is happening here. It has no more sense than this. I was reading one report of, there was a whole series of reports actually, of persons who were trying to commit, they were trying to murder other people in their sleep. In other words, they were sleepwalkers. There was one report of a man who had an argument with his wife. And he went to sleep. He was very frustrated. He was very frustrated with his wife. And then he went to sleep. And then in his sleep, you know how some people, they walk around. So in his sleep, then he was taking a hammer and he was beating his wife on the head. No, actually what he did was he dragged her outside into the street. Now I remember. He dragged her outside into the street, all in his sleep, and he was smashing her head on the, you know, the curb. You know, and she was screaming, and he was just asleep. And then he woke up, and he was going, "Oh no, what have I done?" But he was so frustrated with her from that argument that all this frustration manifested in this dream. And he was trying to kill her in his sleep. So therefore, when there was some trial, but he was found not guilty, because not guilty of attempted murder, because he was just sleeping.
Takže Maharaj četl nějaký pojednání o tom, jak se lidé ve snu snažili zabít někoho jiného. Jeden případ byl, že jeden muž se měl nějaký neschody se svojí ženou a byl z ní velice frustrován a v tom stavu šel spát. A potom v noci tu ženu vytáhl na ulici a ohoblubník se jí rozbíjel hlavu. Potom se probudil a viděl, co jsem to udělal, protože to celý udělal prakticky ve snu a potom prakticky nebyl jako osouzen, protože byli rozproštěni.
This is a very nice analogy for material existence. You see, the waking state symbolizes the spiritual state. So when that man woke up, he was thinking, "My God, what did I do?" He was looking at his activities in the dream state, and he was horrified. So when the soul actually wakes up and looks at his material activities, he becomes shocked. Why was I doing all this nonsense?
Stejně jako tento muž, když se probudil, tak byl tak se zhrozil ze svých činností, které prováděl v tom snu. Stejně tak duše, když se probudí do duchovního vědomí, tak se také zhrozí ze svých materiálních činností. Mm-hmm.
So this is the purpose of Lord Kapiladeva's Sankhya philosophy, to wake up. And then we look, "Oh, what am I doing? I'm dreaming." And then, having woken up, one can fix his mind upon Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna, who is the origin of everything. Surrender to him, serve him.
Potom, co se probudíme, můžeme upevnit svoje mysl na Krišnu, na Pána Vishnu a sloužit mu, odevzdat se mu.
And thus attain tušta, real satisfaction.
A tak dosáhnout tušta, skutečné uspokojení.
And at this point, then this cycle of birth and death ends, and the soul enters the spiritual world and attains his original spiritual form.
A v tomto bodě končí cyklus opakovaných rození a smrti a duše dostává svoji duchovní formu v duchovním světě.
So as Srila Prabhupada also explains here, there's another Sankhya philosophy, Nirishwara Sankhya, in which there is no Ishwara Tattva, no God explained. So according to this, there is only the soul and material nature. So then, the soul has no way to satisfy his desire, except of course by trying to enjoy matter. According to this Sankhya philosophy, eventually the soul will become tired of that. And will just stop, become inactive. And that's what they call liberation. When the soul finally gets tired and just sits down and says, "I quit."
Uh,
But no, because of the nature of the soul, Anandamaya, he wants to be happy. He'll not be able to quit, maybe for some time. For some time out of total frustration, he can't go on. But if he has nothing else to do, then eventually he'll come back to the effort of enjoying the material elements.
Ale duše jeho přírody neustále touží po té radosti, takže na nějaký čas toho všeho může nechat, když je hodně frustrovaná, ale jelikož nemá nic jiného na práci, tak se zase vrací do tohoto stavu.
So this type of so-called Sankhya philosophy brings no tuṣṭa, no satisfaction.
Takže tento druh sankhové filozofie nepřináší tuṣṭa nebo uspokojení.
It does not stop mental speculation.
Ani nezastaví mentální spekulaci.
Rather, it encourages it.
Spíše podporuje mentální.
All these mundane philosophies, non-Krishna conscious philosophies, they encourage mental speculation, and thus they encourage us to create more and more and more bodies.
Všechny tyto materiální nekrišna vědomé filozofie podporují mentální spekulaci a tím pádem podporují vývoj nových a nových materiálních těl. Mm-hmm.
So, in this verse, the Lord is telling Kardama Muni that I shall appear as the son of your wife, Devahuti, and I will establish, I will teach her, she will become my disciple, and I will teach her this Tattva Sangitam, this philosophy of Sankhya, which is Ishvara Sankhya, which actually establishes that all the tattvas are the energies of the Supreme Lord.
Takže pán tomto verši říká, že se objevím se jako syn dvě ženy Devahuti a budu ji učit tuto Tattva Sanghitu, neboli Ishvara Sankhya.
Are there any questions? Yes, that means the mind in its satisfied state is in the mode of goodness. But the mind can only be satisfied in Krishna consciousness. So when the mind associates with ignorance, becomes ignorant, then it is situated in passion, between goodness and ignorance. And it's from out of this passion that all speculations arise.
Mm-hmm.
So the human being is said to be basically situated in the mode of passion for that reason. And the human mental culture is all passionate. So by Krishna consciousness, then the mind becomes satisfied. You see? When the mind is satisfied, then it's in goodness. Because that's its real nature. When it's dissatisfied, it's in passion. And when it's completely despairing, no hope, totally frustrated, then in ignorance. Yeah, Chaitana actually means the consciousness of the soul, which is colored by mind, intelligence, false ego, by the three modes.
Čitaná, tady to materiální vědomí, vlastně vědomí živé bytosti, které je pokryto materiální myslí, inteligencí.
You see, the this intelligence, mind, false ego. So mind is produced out of goodness, intelligence out of passion, false ego out of ignorance.
Takže je pokryta, to vědomí je pokryto myslí, inteligencí a falešným egem. Mysl pochází z kvality dobra, inteligence z kvality vášně a falešné z kvality nevědomosti.
So when the consciousness of the soul is covered by these three modes in the form of mind, intelligence, false ego, and is working through them, that's called chetana, material consciousness. Yes.
Qualities of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance have their personification in some residents.
Yeah, well, they have their controllers, the mode of goodness being controlled by Vishnu within this universe, Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, the mode of passion being controlled by Lord Brahma, mode of ignorance being controlled by Lord Shiva. And then each of them, you see, they have their consort. Vishnu has Lakshmi Devi, Brahma, Saraswati, and Lord Shiva, Goddess Durga. And these consorts are their shaktis, are actually the personification of the modes themselves.
Takže v tomto materiálním vesmíru existují vládci těchto tří kvalit, jako Vishnu, Brahma a Shiva. A každý z nich má svoji společnici, Vishnu, Lakshmi, Brahma, Saraswati a Shiva Durgu, který jsou osobně na těchto kvalit materiálním vesmíru.
Yes. Srila Prabhupada said, I am the intelligence of my disciples. So it is simply a question of the degree of their surrender to the spiritual master. If one surrenders completely, then his intelligence is first class. If one surrenders partially, or if he has to, as I said yesterday, if he has to feel as well as hear, that's second class.
Takže záleží na tom, jestli se odevzdáme úplně, tak jsme prvotřídní, máme inteligenci, když se odevzdáme částečně, tak máme inteligenci druhé třídy.
If one hears, feels, and still can't understand, that's third class.
A jestliže slyšíme, cítíme, a přesto nemůžeme pochopit, tak to je inteligence třetí třídy.
So that means Adham, that means fallen disciple. He's still a disciple. He's still rendering service, but he's ignorant. And fourth class means he can't even maintain a position of service to the spiritual master. He goes away.
inteligence čtvrté třídy znamená, že nemůže ani udržovat úroveň nějaké služby duchovní mistrovi odchází.
So it's a question of surrender, actually. Srila Prabhupada said, it's a child's qualification, actually, to become good disciple of the spiritual master. It's not something, you know, some very great mysterious quality. That quality can be seen in a child. A good son, he's dependent upon the father for everything. He's asking the father, what is this? Father says, this is a flower. And he accepts. He doesn't think, maybe father's wrong. Maybe this is not a flower. Maybe this is a motorcycle. Some speculation. You see. And if the good son has some desire that he would like to fulfill, he goes to the father. Prabhupada gave the example of if the son wants to see some film in town, go to the cinema. Then he goes to the father and says, Father, may we go to see this film? And if father, you see, father loves the son because the son is so good. Father says, yes, let's go. So in this way, the son satisfies his desire. He gets to see the film. But everything is in harmony with the desires of the father.
Takže ten syn potom, když má nějakou touhu, tak jde za otcem s tou touhou. A Šila Prabhupada dává příklad, jako když přijde za otcem a chce vidět nějaký film ve městě, co dávají v kině, tak se zeptá otce, jestli by s ním mohl jít na ten film, a otec řekne ano, protože má přitažlivost ke svému, náklonost ke svému synovi. Takže tím způsobem je ta touha toho syna uspokojena v harmonii s otcem.
So, this is first class.
To je prvotřídní.
So, disciple of spiritual master who has this first class attitude of full faith in the instructions of spiritual master and placing himself fully under the protection of the spiritual master in all affairs, then he gets first class intelligence.
Dává pod ochranu ve všech situacích duchovního mistra, tak vyvine prvotřídní inteligenci.
And those who do not have, you know, have less faith and are less under the protection because they are maintaining some independent conception, then their intelligence will be second class, third class, fourth class, fifth class, tenth class.
Ti, kteří se ale neodevzdávají plně duchovnímu mistrovi, udržují si v mysli nějaké nezávislé tendence, tak potom rozvinou druhou třídní, třetí třídy, čtvrté, desáté třídy inteligenci.
You're satisfied, Krishna? Okay. Yes. Well, as we said, the real Sankhya philosophy teaches that these elements are the energies of the Supreme Lord's different different expansions, his Vishnu expansions, Vishnu Tattva expansions.
Tak už jsme se zmínili o tom, skutečná Sankhya filozofie učí, že všechny tyto expected the energy, so expansion is Vishnu.
So we give up the conception that these energies are mine, which is actually taught in the atheistic Samkhya philosophy, that these are your energies, the energies of the Purusha. We give up that false conception. We admit that these are Krishna's energies, and they are meant to be engaged in Krishna's service. They're not meant to be enjoyed by us.
Takže my se zbavujeme pojetí toho, že to jsou moje energie, což vlastně učí ta falešná sanktová filozofie, která říká, to jsou tvoje energie. Ale my víme, že to jsou energie nejvyššího, tak postupně se zbavujeme toho pojetí, že jsou moje.
So this giving up should be understood rightly.
Takže toto zbavování se těchto energií, když mluvíme o tom, že se zbavujeme těchto energií, by mělo být správně pochopeno.
It doesn't mean doing nothing.
To neznamená potom nic nedělat.
Refusing to have anything to do with the material elements. That is again, that's the other philosophy, the atheistic philosophy.
Mm.
Like Prabhupada says, the materialists think the material energy is theirs to enjoy, to possess and enjoy, and then they think later on when they become frustrated that it's theirs to throw away, to give up.
Jako materialisti si myslí, že materiální energie je tady proto, aby jsme ji ovládali a aby jsme ji mohli zahodit.
But this is not the Vaishnava outlook.
Ale to není vaishnavský náhled na věc.
The Vaishnava outlook is that these tattvas, these energies, are Krishna's energy.
Vaishnavský pohled na věc je, že tyto tattvy jsou Krishnovy energie.
Hmm. So, Lord Krishna, he grants us the use of his energy in his devotional service. It's like a loan. You see? It's like your father loans you the car and says, my dear son, take the car to the market and purchase some foodstuffs for this week in the house.
Je to jako půjčka, když ti otec řekne, tady máš můj synu auto, jeď na obchodu a nakup tam věci, které potřebujeme.
So if you use the car in that consciousness, then again, as we were saying before, then you're known as a good son.
A jestli využiješ auto s tímto vědomím, tak jak bychom se zmínili předtím, jsi známý jako dobrý syn.
But if when father gives you the car, you drive off, and you call your friends and say, I've got the car, let's go have a party. And you spend the money father gave you for shopping, you spend it on beer and cigarettes. Then you're a rascal son. And you're going to be in trouble. So, another kind of rascal son is he who, when father says, take the car and go shopping, he says, no. I don't want to go out with this car. I don't want to get involved in all these activities. It just disturbs my mind. So he's also a rascal. Have you understood? Little. Purify means to engage in Krishna service. It's the same point. You know, there's not some separate process of mystical purification. It is simply that we see that these energies are Krishna's, they're Krishna's energy, then that is pure. This is the process of deity worship, when incense and lamp and water and foodstuffs, which are all material, which are, if they're used separately, are impure. If they're offered to the deity, then they're all pure. They become prasadam. Now do you understand? Highest. Now, how can we please Krishna the most? Is that the question?
No, because he says that there are living entities who have their independence misused, don't want to serve Krishna.
Yeah.
Why Krishna doesn't create some kind of living entities who are just serving him?
Well, first of all, living entities are not created. They're all eternal.
První věc je, že živé bytosti nejsou stvořeny, jsou věčné.
And secondly, most of these eternal living entities are pleasing Krishna in the spiritual world. There is an unlimitedly expanded living entities, and Prabhupada said of them all, 90% are in the spiritual world. And they're only pleasing Krishna. Only about 10% come down here. Prabhupada said, the only business of coming to this material world is to pass stool and urine. So they come here to do that. So, therefore, Krishna comes to this material world. Krishna sends his pure devotees here to bring them back. This is another lila of Krishna. That's the ultimate explanation. It's Krishna's lila. Any other questions? We have plenty of time. It's only 6:10. It's been 6:10 all morning. For atheists. There are those who have desire for godlessness. They have a desire to be godless. And because the jiva is helpless, he's always dependent upon the Lord. So therefore the Lord arranges for these atheistic philosophies too. Even sometimes the Lord comes himself as when he did in the form of Buddha to teach atheism. So why? Because there are those who desire to be godless, so they need a godless philosophy. But when Buddha comes, because he is the Lord, he tricks those atheists. He says, yes, there is no God, but I am the supreme teacher, so you surrender to me. So they worship Buddha as God, and he is God.
And, tam je vždycky druh živých bytostí, které jsou bezbožné a potřebují nějakou bezbožnou filozofii, a proto Krishna přichází sám, aby učil bezbožnost, ale on jako v případě Budhy, on ty ateisty podvede, protože on učí, že není žádný nejvyšší Bůh, a že já, Budha učí, já jsem nejvyšší tak osoba, tak se odezdejte mě.
All right. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah. Antaraj Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah.